The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 12th of June, 2017 here, and we're in mighty warm Albany, New York. It's in the low 90s, and the humidity is unbelievable. We went from 40-degree rainy days for about 6 weeks. We had a day nice here and there, and now we're in the dead heat of summer. It's absolutely amazing, but you know what? As John Ridge, my chiropractor, said, Eric, this is life, and that's what it is, and that's the great thing about it. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and right now you can go out and buy the Winner's Circle. This is 12 modules that, you know, we've been doing this stuff here for years. They're all tested. You know, we call it a way to destroy old age, and I just want to give you all 12 and some of the stuff that goes with it. Number one, the beginning. Number two is getting started. Number three is mental fortitude. Number four is sandbag domination, which is something we're going to talk about today, which I can't wait because that has become a big point of contention around here lately. Number five, heavy specialization in shoulder pressing and bent rows. Number six, passion for what you love. Number seven, hands-on training. Number eight, big powerful arms. Number nine, high shrugs and the straight arm pullover. Number 10, the return of the iron boots. Number 11 is strong stone strength. Number 12 is love, passion, and my power rack. And if you sign up right now and buy the product, you get number 13 free, stewards of strength / gatekeepers. And listen to what's on this module alone. Learning what the true definition of honor stands for. Where have all the men gone? Why you should test yourself constantly. Why strength is the foundation of your life. And why not stand out, stand apart, and lead the world. And guess what? We got something even better than that to jump onto. If you buy this product right now, we call them the Fantastic Four, but now we got another awesome person who's joined us. We will change that and make that the Fantastic Five. Number one, Martin Janzicks. Martin is a strength athlete, trainer, world-renowned stone lifter, speaker who preserves the old world connections and traditions of physical culture. Number two is David Whitley. He's an old-time strongman, steelbender, trainer, author, and speaker, and the king of the bent press. Douglas Graham. Douglas is an expert in kettlebells, maces, clubs, powerlifting, and a coach at Art of Functional Movement Academy. He's with Powell Veduto, who was just on this show. Awesome men. Dr. William Wong. He's a classical naturopath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, certified sports medicine trainer, speaker, and a World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member. And we got now, he'll come in very shortly, Clint Darden has joined us now, who will give an hour of his time if you come in and buy the Winner's Circle today. And for anybody that doesn't know this man, he's a strong man, an Olympic lifter, a trainer, a stone lifter, and that's just where I learned about him, from the House of Biceps. And besides that, I'll tell you something right now, flat out, Clint's had some major health issues, all right? And I've said this on the show, and I've written it on whenever he'll post something. This is no bullshit either. This is a guy that I have full admiration for because we talked for quite a while before we came on here. Never stops, never gives in, always positive. He's got two young sons and a wife to take care of. You know, this is what it's all about, man. This is what it's all about. You know, lifting is not just lifting. It's a whole thing we call physical culture here. he gets my red star for the day. Well, probably now a red star is no good in the world. He gets the gold star for me. With no further ado, I want to just say one more thing, too. I forgot. Contribution page, and then we'll bring him right in. I keep getting sidetracked all over the place, but that's okay. If you'd like to contribute to Motivation and Muscle, we would greatly appreciate it. You can go out to PayPal, all right, and type in Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com, and that will take you right to my PayPal account. Now, you can go into our website, too, under Contribution, and if you contribute $25, which plugs you right into PayPal, no fuss, no muss, you get our first module called The Beginning. These are the highlights, some of them on it. Obliterating obstacles, success manifested, overcoming roadblocks, and the power of optimism. Hey, you know what? You don't hear much of that anymore. If you contribute $50, you'll get The Beginning with all those great things on that module. But you also get a half an hour of free session to talk to me. We'll discuss an outline and encourage you how to improve what you're up to. And we'll help you build towards your future goals. It'll take you right to it. You can send it in, and I guarantee you, we will change your life. We are definitely different from everybody else out there, and that's the way we're always going to be. So I will greatly accept it, and I will greatly appreciate anything you can do for my company, because my company is your company, because everything we do here, we're going to broaden your horizons, and that's more important to me than anything in the world. Now that I've said everything, besides, you know, also go out to motivationmuscle.com and look at all the shows Clint and I have done. If you do /category/podcast, we've done a gang of them. And I just gave you a little bit about them, but I'm going to go over it again. Number one, strongman, Olympic lifter, trainer, stone lifter, and he is from the House of Biceps. Clint, welcome to the show, brother. I know that was long, but it was all good, my friend.
Always glad to be here. Always glad to be here.
If I missed anything, lay it on me. But I will tell you this before I bring Clint back in. Boy, do we got a show today, and it's been a long time since we've done one. We're going to talk about his nemesis, Sandbags, because of me, Terry Hollins, and we're going to get into the old strongman as opposed to what's going on today. Clint, anything you need to get out, and we will start first with Sandbags, please.
I'm good, man. Let's get ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, I posted a while ago, at least over a good month ago, Martin Janzik, who's a regular on here, who I highly respect, who I think is probably one of the greatest stone lifters, at least presently in the world. We get into all this stuff all the time off air, and some of it on air, you know. Flip a 500-pound tire for an hour straight, you'll be a great stone lifter, and all this other stuff. So one day he says to me, because he's got a huge sandbag, 120 kilo, in the foyer of just before you go into his living room, and anybody can lift it. And, you know, that's a huge bag. So he says to me, Eric, if you can clean lap and press a 200-pound sandbag, you can lift any stone in the world. Well, that was like somebody sticking an electrode straight into my brain and turning it on. It was like, whoa, like that. Because I never thought of anything in that respect. So I put it out there. And, of course, Clint sees it. And I start here, you know, we're going back and forth, Jason Gillen and a number of other people, and that Etched in Stone page has gone berserk. Same way with Etched in Stone for Kids because of the project we're getting ready to release at the end of the summer for that, and we've got one for women and men, et cetera, et cetera. That's a whole nother show or two. So I'm getting stuff back from him. He's telling me he hates me, and I'm watching this guy, and he's cleaning and blowing these sandbags up, man. I'm like, son of a gun, man. And I was very glad, and we got talking about some stuff that I did yesterday. But before we get into any of that, I want, Clint, I want you to comment on it. Tell me, what was it about that intrigued you about a sandbag? And to be honest with you, you know, we know people have been doing this stuff, but not to the degree the way I'm really starting to push it here, and the way people are really buying in is, I mean, I got a guy today, he never lifted a stone in his life, he sends me stuff in Etch. So this is really, really great to hear, but give me a little bit about the sandbags, and we'll just go from there, my friend.
Well, you know, the sandbags have never really been my thing. They've never really caught my interest, but then you just said something in that post, and I don't know why, if it's because I like you, whatever, but it just pissed me off and fired me up. So I think I read that on a Saturday.
Yep.
And went straight out, because I know I have an old sandbag in the back room, because I had a training partner once that was getting ready for a contest in England, and he had a sandbag carry.
Yep.
So he went and made a sandbag, and it busted. It's been sitting in the back room of my gym. So I went out that night, bought a roll of duct tape.
Yep.
And the next day I went to the gym and secured it with a roll of duct tape, and I got two clean presses out of it, and it just ripped completely open. So yep. Then it's all I can think about. You know, I'm writing my program, and it's all I can think about is this freaking sandbag. So every single week since then, I've done clean presses. I've duct taped again. I've ran wire around it, bands, spud ink straps, and zip ties have been the most recent thing. I'm waiting for Kenneth Nowicki. He's sending me an invoice any second now, actually. And I've got four sandbags ordered from him.
Nice.
That will be arriving as soon as they come. So right now I've got a 200-pounder, and that's it. So hopefully I'll have four. And I wanted to have a couple lighter and a couple heavier than 200 pounds.
Wow.
And just something, whether it's, you know, cleaning and loading it, something I can do some one-arm presses with.
Yep.
Something I can actually get some reps and do some rows with.
Yep.
But, you know, I wanted several options. But you know, it's been great because I've always loaded stones.
Yep.
And, you know, I've had lots of little bicep injuries and lat injuries and tricep injuries. And, you know, picking up my stones with my hands, when you pick up an Atlas stone, your hands are really close together at the bottom of that stone.
Yep.
And it's a lot of biceps right off the bottom. With a sandbag, your arms are like shoulder width apart.
Yep.
So you're locking your biceps in a much better position. You still use them to squeeze, but they're in a safer position. So I don't know. I've been doing carries, pickup and carries. I've been doing a medley the last 3 weeks where I do a 700-pound super yoke and then the farmer's walk back, and then I pick up the sandbag and run it back and throw it over the yoke.
Yep.
And my biceps are getting worked, my hamstrings, my back, my upper back, my rear delts. And, you know, I look at it as I can either sit in the gym and do a ton of barbell rows and dumbbell rows and cable rows, or I can go out and do, you know, 3 minutes worth of work on a sandbag. My choice.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to get out in the sun and do a sandbag for 3 minutes before I spend 5 minutes training back.
Absolutely.
But it is hard. It's getting summer here, so you're sweating all the time, and you can't lift Atlas stones when you're soaked with sweat. But a sandbag, the sweat just kind of soaks to it.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. It's just become one of those things that, you know, you mentioned it. I had to try it, even though I thought you're crazy. I still think you're crazy, by the way. And, you know, I'm not great at it, which means, you know, like I have clients all the time. You're out. I had a client last week was working on his conventional deadlift. And it's just we're beating our head into the concrete wall every week on his deadlift. I said, that's it. We're not going to deadlift anymore. We're going to sumo deadlift.
Yep.
So last week he did sumo deadlift. You know what? He completely sucks at sumo deadlift. It's one of the worst looking things I've ever seen. And I am completely thrilled because we found something that he sucks at. And he's just demolished because he's even worse at sumos than he is at conventional. I said, man, this is brilliant, though. People spend their entire lives in the gym trying to figure out why they're not making progress. We just figured it out. We found an exercise that you suck at. All we have to do now is get you better at what you suck at, and then your regular deadlift is going to fly up. Well, if I'm having issues right now with my stones because of biceps and lats and stuff like that, and I'm going into the danger period of sweaty season here, if I can get better through the summer on some sandbags, I'm going to increase my bicep strength, my back strength, my hamstring strength. God bless my cardio.
Oh, yeah.
And for the first time in 20 years, I'm not picking up an Atlas stone. I'm picking up a sandbag. I'm doing something a little bit different. Man, by the time winter gets here and it cools off, I'm going to blow those stones away.
That's what I was going to say. You'll go through them so fast and so easy, you'll have to go and check to make sure that they're all the right size and weight. I mean that. I want to tell you something, too. I'm going to give you a few. I'm not even going to wait till we get offline because I'm going to tell you a few things right now, and I'll get right back to you. I told Clint all about the stacking. I talked about a little of that with Ken Nowicki today, this morning. And I'll tell you right now, I did tell Clint this, I will say that, but I'll tell you this right now. And I sent a note to John McKean, too, because he'll go berserk. His grandson will be here for the rest of the summer. And this kid, from what John tells me, is an absolute beast. And he's going to start him out with the sandbag stuff. And I gave him a few things that we used for our product called Etched in Stone for Men, which is not out yet. It was, but it'll come back out. And I've been doing a thing for 2 weeks now called stacking. And I'm stacking sandbags, one on top of the other. I start out with a squat pull-up, which is body weight. Go to the stacking. Go to a long strength good morning body weight. And I used to do, and I will still do it somehow, incorporate it in, I do the heavy hands walk 95 feet down and back. It's usually a total of 5 to 10 pounds in each hand. But you do it in a skiing-like position because you want your arms over your heart. And you want to talk about four banging movements. And the reason why I'm doing them is because they get you to a point and a state mentally where, I'm not kidding you, go in at 90% of your max with anything, and I guarantee you, you'll blow it apart. But you're going to have to do the work. So you got to be doing that stuff for a minimum of 20 minutes, and I mean move. And what you're doing with each movement is moving from one to the next. Now, I only went from 50 to 110 with stacking, and what you're doing is you might only move them 2 feet, all right? But you stack them now in another stack, and you go to your next movement, your body weight, the long strength. And if you're going to do another one, your heavy hands. You repeat it. I did it 5 rounds. I'm probably going to get up to 10 rounds and stay there for a while and not really go up with the sandbags. Because I know everybody will be like, well, that's too light. It's not too light, I'm telling you. The idea here
is... You know, a power lifter can't carry the groceries from the car to the kitchen without being out of breath. So 10 rounds of work is probably just go ahead and dial 911 before you start. But so, you know, I don't want to throw you off, but I really do. I want to ask you, because I've had this in the back of my mind for months, and I don't have anybody to talk to in English here. So now I've got you on the phone. I'm going to ask you. You know, you're talking about doing this work, and this is physical work. Yep. You're talking about doing repetition work that is more than borderline cardio in order to build your max strength.
Yep.
And I think that's something totally that, you know, I'm be 40 really, really soon. But that is something totally that the people, let's say above 30, the people whose testosterone levels are starting to decline.
There you go.
Their peak performance is starting to decline.
Yep.
You know, I keep working with more and more older athletes, and the older the athletes are, the more hypertrophy work, the more muscle building and cardio work they need to be doing so that they can perform the heavy stuff when they need to perform it. When I was in my 20s, I could just max out all the time. I just kept getting bigger and stronger. Through my 30s and into 40, I'm realizing I've got to do all this bodybuilding stuff.
Yep.
And for once in my life, all this bodybuilding stuff, this cardio, high rep, burning stuff, finally now transfers over into one rep maxes.
Absolutely.
And so you're talking about doing all this, you know, it's basically rep work plus cardio work. And, you know, you've got somebody that's 35 wondering why they're not making any progress. Someone who's 40, 45 wondering why they're not making any progress. When was the last time you did 10 minutes of hard work? You know, when was the last time you did 10 minutes of reps after reps after reps? And your whole body was just setting on fire. So when you finished, you know, you couldn't physically pack the groceries from the car to the kitchen.
Right.
You know, build some muscle, and then your body's, you know, in a, like we were talking the other day, you know, do this for 6 weeks and then come back, you know, to doing that heavy stuff.
I'll tell you what, right now, this stuff primes you in a way like, and you know what the greatest thing is? You know, obviously, if you're not used to doing this type of work, you know, you're going to have to start very, very light. But the, you know, all right, I'll just give you an example. I did 5 rounds of all three, and I stayed at 55 reps for the squat pull-up. So 5 sets of 55, 5 sets of 55, in the Good Morning, and obviously the five rounds with 50 to 110. Now, obviously, I can go more reps with the squat pull-ups and the Good Mornings, and I probably will start going back into like 100 and things of that nature. But I've learned one thing, and I've gotten much smarter, especially it seems like this year with everything. You know, when it's 93 degrees out, and my garage, I mean, last year I talked about, you know, there were times it was like 112 degrees in there. Right. And where I'm doing all that stuff is at the very back of the garage. That's where one of my power racks is, my main one. Let me tell you, folks, you should have seen the platform yesterday. It looked like I wet my pants all over the floor. You know what I mean? That's what's going on. All right. So why do we need to keep pushing? Because we know we're going to go in and do a few heavy movements or one. Why aren't we going to have all the gas we want for that? And you know what it does, man? It gives you a body pump, and it builds muscularity in you. You know, think about it. You're like a guy on a loading dock. That's how I think when I lift the sandbags. Right. And you're digging your fingers in. You're getting so much stuff in response going on, all right? Okay, so we do that. And I can't wait because Wednesday I have to dead stop squat. And John McKean and I were on a call last week for 2.5 hours talking about you name it. And I've decided to get back into band training again a little bit. The first time I band squat dead stop right at parallel, back squat with the buffalo bar, he was like, "You're out of your mind." And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "You crisscross that over the top of the bar. That's like doing two dead stops." Right. I was like, "Yeah," and I pushed right through 70 pounds of band. So, in essence, I had 408 on the buffalo bar of weights and fully extended. We got 70 pounds, 478. It was easy, man. I'm telling you the truth. And the thing that I loved about it, Clint, was this. And he told me that he doesn't understand how I held this thing together. He was like, "That didn't whip you around." I said, "I don't think I've ever come up so straight and tight in a lift in my life, especially from a dead stop position." Well, the way they do them, and I've done them before like this, but he's hilarious, is they do the same concept, but they take the bands and run them through the front of their weight belts. Mm-hmm. So let's take, for instance, the 35-35. All right, so you run it through the front, step on it with your feet, obviously, once you get set under the bar, explode it up. Now, with me, obviously, I would definitely try heavier ones or maybe do three bands and do a 35-35, whatever I've got, a 50, all right, and see what happens under the same weight.
Right.
Well, I can't wait, to be honest with you, and I hit a deadlift with it the other night, too. I went 520, I did 450 on the bar with a trap bar and extended, obviously, 70, that's 520. I mauled it, man. I just wanted to see how it felt off the ground for the next time to go up. I think that the weights I can muster with these bands, I don't know what it is, why they agree with me like that, but they just seem to set me in a very straight, very mechanical pattern, man. And obviously everybody knows, all right? 520 is not a big deadlift. I do lots more than that, but I got to tell you, right away it's building confidence in me like crazy. Same way with the squat. And you got to remember, folks, I'm lifting heavy stones and everything else, man. I mean, I've got to be able to temper my nights to what I can do, whether I feel like I could lift a house off me and throw it. You got to be ready for a couple days, 3 days later, whatever you're feeling like that.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll get right to you. I cannot wait, and I mean this, to do that warm up and go in, because I'm going to give everybody a little hint, and we're going to see what happens. I'm going to start right in at 478 that night, my max last week, and see if I can nail it the first rep. We'll have to consider that will be 100% because that's what I did last week. It's not my 100%, but I'm going in now, and I'm really screwing with numbers because, as John McKean wrote many years ago, this style of training, you should be able to walk in at 90% of your max and hit your first rep like that. Take it away. Tell me I'm right, wrong, or whatever, brother.
Oh, you know, I think you're crazy. I don't know. I'm still playing and learning. All I know is that, you know, with the sandbag is everything is it's almost like grabbing a big ball of Jell-O. And I'm not good at it. I'm looking at 2.5 years or more of chemo at this point. Everything that connects from chest, shoulders, bicep, triceps, all the way down is just, it hurts and it's loose and it's not connected right. And, you know, I can go in there and do curls all day. I can do rows. I can do shoulder presses. But it doesn't build the connective tissue between everything that makes everything work in sequence. You know, it's like I talk about deadlifting all the time because I can deadlift. But people talk about, well, it's hamstrings, it's back, it's glutes, it's abs. And that's great because all those things do have to fire, but they have to fire in the proper sequence. But with my upper body, everything is just, it's all broken apart. When I go to do an overhead press, everything, it doesn't work in the right sequence. But with a sandbag, it's heavy. It's heavy and it throws me off and I have to use every muscle to balance. I'm using a lightweight that feels heavy and I don't know. Everything that I do, I'm getting a pump, I'm getting sore. So I'm just, you know, I'm really counting on, you know, I'm not using this to build my squat or my deadlift, but I think it's going to greatly improve the safety of my Atlas stones, and I think it's going to improve my overhead pressing as well, especially when I get some lighter sandbags, or some sandbags aren't held together with zip ties and duct tape.
I also think, too, I think it will help all your stuff. I think you're going to become, you stick with this for a while, you know, like you said, when the colder weather is upon you. My feeling is I think you're going to see a big rush of strength all over you. Now, you might notice it the most in your stone lifting. I don't know. We don't know. You know, you do a program like this for a while, especially with all the new sandbags coming and the way you can set up all these things. I'll tell you right now, and I can't wait. I hope when you get them, you'll do the stacking. I can't wait to hear what you say about that to me because I think you are going to have phenomenal success just with stacking, man. We always talk about the hard hat program we've got here and how we take and go from a 50-pound stone, whether you got to drag them to a 450-pound Husafell cement stone, because X number have to go over in that corner, and you might only have to move it 6 feet. Well, do 5 rounds of that and tell me by the 6th time when you go to bring it back for the long haul, you might not even make 5. I'm talking me. That is some of the most blistering training I have ever done in my life. And you know what? I don't care if I've got to drag it and I can't pick up anymore because my forearms are bleeding. I can't bend my fingers anymore. And frankly, my body feels like someone took it and threw it right through some kind of machine, and it came out like twisted and turned and broken and everything. That's the stuff that's going to make you indestructible. And when you take sandbags that aren't going to be as hard on your hand, they're going to do all the things you need to do, but hopefully you're going to eliminate cuts or burns on them or this, that, and the other thing. That's where you get to keep playing. And when you can start building sandbags of excess of 300 pounds and do a 95-foot walk up and back, or you can do a step up with it, or you can just start slinging that thing over your head, you're going to be one mean-ass person. And I'll tell you right now, I think the muscularity you can build off a sandbag, we're going to find out here, and if Clint's doing all these different things, it'll be very interesting because everyone knows, he just told you the chemo he's been up against. You suddenly start seeing him gaining a ton of muscularity, the ligament, tendon size, and the deepness. You and I both know, brother, we've just hit upon something, so take it away.
Well, I keep looking at everything from an economic standpoint as well.
Right.
I've said this a million times. I'm not a huge sandbag fan. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the stuff that you tell me that's going to work and it ends up working. But, you know, I do it because you told me, and I get pissed off because, well, Eric said he did it. So if he can do it, I can do it. And then I'll either do it and I'll suck at it and won't tell you, or I'll do halfway decent and I'll tell you about it. But, with the sandbags, I'm just looking on Amazon, and the sandbags are something – they're like 50 pounds or something here because I had to order from England. So you're looking at 50, 60 bucks, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if I can, I can't get an Atlas stone for that kind of price.
No.
You know, I'm going to be able to ship it. You know, it's going to be, it'll come here in a Ziploc bag size thing. I don't know. But I can fill it with whatever I want. I can make it whatever weight that I want. I can secure it with zip ties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like the general stuff you said, you know, walking up and down stairs, carrying. You can drop the sucker, and it's not going to break the floor. It's not going to break. Your wife's not going to yell at you unless it busts sand everywhere.
Yeah.
But,
and it's, and mean, it's not going to hurt you time. Either.
Right,
and
it, right.
You know, like you and I both know, we've dropped stones on our feet before, hit our shins. It's not.
Look, I dropped a log on my head, pushing it overhead. I dropped a sandbag on my head. It hurt a little bit, but it wasn't like dropping a steel log.
I dropped one time. I was pressing. It was just probably around 200 pounds a keg, overhead, cleaning it, and I did. I made the dumb mistake of training it on a day like this. And I slipped a little bit with my right hand. That thing came down, hit me on the head, knocked me out, I think. I think for a little while. I got back up, or I was just oozy, you know, and I was like, this is the thing. Will a sandbag hurt if it comes down and hits you in the head? Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it ain't going to be like a log. It's not going to be like a stone, and it's not going to be like a keg, because you could get severely hurt. I mean, I was surprised I didn't split my hard Italian head open. But I didn't, you know. I had an egg on it, but I was okay. But that's it. Anything else you want to hit with sandbags, or do you want to get into Terry?
I'll let you know when I get my sandbags. I'll have lots of videos and photos and bad words to say to you. So
yeah, well, we'll get it on etched, and we'll educate everybody more. Clint had the honor of a good friend of his, Terry Hollins, decided to drop by and stay with him. Let's go into that and. Where you know, he came, he did some training, and he left. So let's get into that.
Well, you know, I've known Terry for many years. I would say, I think it was 2006 is when I got really sick the first time.
Yep.
And then took me 3 years till 2009 to be able to come back just to where I could compete. So by that time, nobody remembered me. So I came back, competed in a couple of shows, and did absolutely amazing. And then I got invited to a show in Hungary, run by Laszlo Fekete, one of the world's greatest stone loaders.
Yep.
Well, I guess by the time I got there, they realized that I was probably going to beat him 2 days later at the contest. They decided not to pick me up at the airport. So I'm stranded at the airport in Hungary. Yeah. And all my friends warned me that he was this way, and he was a hero legend of mine.
Yep.
So I thought, no, he won't be like this.
Yep.
And all of my friends warned me. Look, this guy's going to screw you. No, he won't. Yeah, he did. So I was lucky. I had a lot of friends in Hungary. I called one buddy up and said, hey, I'm at the airport and I've got no place to go for the next 4 days. Can I stay at your house?
Yep.
So he picked me up and he knew of a strongman contest in Slovakia. So we drove all the way up to Slovakia. We get there and it's a strongman Champions League contest. It's on Eurosport, which is the European version of ESPN. And I'm there, and Terry Hollins says, hold on a second, Clint.
Yeah.
He said, let me go talk to the promoter.
Yep.
He comes back, and he says, we want you to compete.
Wow.
I'm like, what do you mean you want me to compete? He's like, yeah, you're already here. You know, jump in here with us and compete. We'll find you an American flag or a Cyprus flag or whatever you want, but we just want you to compete.
Yep.
And honestly, I've gotten off an airplane. I've slept on a floor for 2 days. I've had no food.
Yep.
I said, I don't even have my gym bag. I don't have my belt. I don't have my shoes. He said, what size shoe do you wear? I said, I wear a 16. And he said, so do I. You can have my shoes whenever I'm not competing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, I couldn't. I literally had not eaten. I literally had slipped on the floor for days.
Yep.
I couldn't do it. But here's a guy. I mean, I wasn't going to beat him. I mean, I wasn't going to. But still, he's taking his belt off, his shoes, his clothes, and saying, just get out here and compete with me.
Yep.
So that left a huge impression on me all the way back in 2009. And I've talked with his wife a million times online. She doesn't get a lot of vacation time every year. So when she does get vacation, she makes sure they take a vacation somewhere where it is hot. And he was 3 weeks out from World's Strongest Man, so he wasn't going anywhere where there wasn't a strongman gym.
Yep.
Well, that really only left one place in the whole world that was going to be hot in May.
Yep. Yep.
And had a strongman gym.
Yep.
So they booked their flight and hotel and came here. So it was really great to have him come out and train. We had several great training sessions, and it's it's one of those things where just hanging out with somebody like that, you realize, you know, hey, I am normal.
Yeah.
You know, because I hang around, I either hang around nobody or I'm around, you know, my wife's friends or a couple of guys that just go to, you know, the hardcore CrossFit guys here. You know, they're really hardcore for their sport, but we're on slightly different wavelengths, especially when it comes to the fact that I want to weigh 300 pounds and they want to weigh, you know, a lightning fast in shape 180, you know, for their sport.
Yep.
So it's, you know, to be around someone like that where it's a constant race of eat and train and, you know, plan everything out and eat again and more supplements and eat again. I've got to sleep more than you do. You know, I've got to rest more than you do. It's you know, really all of a sudden you're like, I'm normal. You know, and you get that little taste of what it feels like, you know, to have a brother.
Yep.
But
absolutely. Absolutely.
We had a good time. He hit some, I mean, he squatted 700, 705 raw, like it was an empty bar.
Wow.
I mean, he did some really crazy. He hadn't touched a log in almost a year. I think he did somewhere 350 for a triple.
Yep.
Mostly strict. It was absolutely crazy. And then I wanted to deadlift, and he wanted to deadlift. And one of my buddies was with us, and he had deadlifted 3 days before, and Terry had one of his buddies with him, and he doesn't deadlift, so we got to make fun of him. And so Terry just kept loading the bar.
Yep.
And he would just lift and add a plate and lift and add a plate. And I was just following him. Whatever he put on there, I took. So we're doing all this calculation because my plates are kilos and pounds and everything else. And we're trying to convert back and forth between the two of us. And he knew what he wanted on there. So he pulled a big deadlift. And he just, I swear, it's not my fault. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just he left the bar loaded on the platform. He left the nose torque next to the chalk, and he left AC/DC playing on the radio. It is not my fault that I had to walk over and deadlift the same weight that he did.
Nice.
And in my opinion, make it look easier. He even said it looked easier. He said I should have went ahead and added some more weight to officially beat him. Or he said I should have pulled the double.
Yep.
But
that's
he was he's just an absolute super guy. It's great to talk to somebody else.
Yeah, it is.
At that level with some insight. I learned, you know, a lot about, a lot of guys at that, because he was looking at World's Strongest Man in 3 weeks. He did not know what the events are, no matter what anybody was saying online, because that was the big thing that, you know, some of the athletes knew the events 4 months out. Total lie.
Yep.
He had a rough idea what some of them were going to be. But, you know, I was there with him when he was on the phone, you know, with the guys running the show.
Yeah.
They didn't know what the events were going to be. He was in shape, went into Worlds. I think after the first three events, he was way out in front.
Yeah.
And he had Nick Best and Zavikas both in his preliminary heat.
Yep.
Most everybody thought that he definitely had the toughest heat. To make it in. He needed to make it into the finals. I believe it would have been a world record for any athlete making it into the finals that many years.
Yep.
You know, he's 38, somewhere around there, which is amazing. Nick Best is 48. You know, Zavikas is 42.
Yeah.
You know, but Terry went in and they changed everything and he got an axle press instead of a Viking press. And all he had to do was get one rep. And it was just fumble after fumble after fumble. And he ended up getting none. And if he would have gotten one rep, he would have gotten 3 points out of that event. And it would have secured him for the finals. He got no reps, which they don't even give you last. They give you 0 points. So while the other athletes were getting like sevens and eights and six and five, he got zero. And then it came down to the last event, and it was man versus man on stones.
Yep.
And he pulled his hamstring on the stone.
Ah,
and I mean, his whole leg turned black, pulled his hamstring. So,
you
know, talking to him, you know, I'm watching all the results and coming down as live as possible. And I'm thinking, you know, that's it. He's done. He's retired.
Yes.
And he went and competed the next weekend.
Oh,
he's competed the he had World's Strongest Man. Yep. Then again, he competed in England. And then last weekend, he again competed in England. And then this next weekend, he's going somewhere else and competing again. Wow. You know, I mean, it's just, he's like, you know, but talking to him, everybody talking about the world was saying, oh, this contest is made for Eddie Hall to win.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have, you know, squat, deadlift,
static, yeah.
heavy stuff. This contest is made. And I, you know, talking to Terry, he just said, look, every strongman contest in the world right now is made for Eddie Hall to win. Every contest is made for Eddie Hall to win. Every contest is made for Thor to probably take second.
Yep.
You know, and then from there on, who knows what could happen.
Yep.
But, you know, his whole goal was just, look, I'm going to go and do the best I can do.
Yeah.
And whatever. He said, look, you know, it's amazing because on the photos, and I'm 6'2", say 275, and Terry is 6'6", 375.
Wow.
And, you know, talking to him, his exact words were, I'm too small to compete with these guys.
That's amazing to hear somebody say that, too.
Yeah, somebody, and he's just, I mean, my hands are the size of his, my feet are the size of his, but he is, he's 4 inches taller and 100 pounds bigger.
Yep.
And he's athletic.
Yep.
And, you know, to hear him say, I'm too small to be able to be competitive against these guys anymore. It's just phenomenal. So, you know, his goal was, you know, we all believe that if he could make the finals, he could make top five.
Yep.
Because he is a guy that the more events they are, the better he does.
Yep.
And you look at the two guys from his heat that made it into the finals were Zavikas and Nick Best.
Yep.
And they killed themselves getting to the finals. When they got to the finals, they took 9th and 10th position.
Yeah.
They took it. They were just dead. Nothing left.
Yep.
So it was a truly an amazing battle, and you know, I'm proud of Terry as a friend.
Sure.
We had a lot of discussions going into the contest. You know, it happens to everybody, and a lot of people. Yeah, I was one of those guys on Facebook going into the contest, and even after the third event, I was bragging like crazy. How about that Terry Hollins now? Where are all those guys now that said he won't make the finals? And then
I
ate my words.
Yep.
But, you know, and it hurt. But, you know, he's got that warrior mentality of, okay, there's, you know, you just finished World's Strongest Man.
Yep.
And, you know, everything bad happened. And then you say, okay, there's next weekend and the weekend after that and the weekend after that. You know, I'm not that mentally tough just to shrug it off. You shrug off a little no-name contest, but you don't shrug off World's Strongest Man.
Well, yeah, but you know what? He made a decision, and that's a great thing to do because you know how easy it is for people to just say, well, I can just get out of this now. I'll go do what I want to do. You know, I did. Now, you know, that. I know that's
You're
not
absolutely
every...
right, man. It gets tough, and everybody quits.
Yeah, it's just.
But it doesn't – you know, I guess I've done the same thing. I've quit stuff before, but then I look at training – you know, even as sick as I've been, it doesn't cross my mind that I'm going to quit. It may cross my mind that, look, I've got to spend a few days on the couch.
Right, right.
Or I've got to run an IV in my arm. But it never hits me that that's it. You know, I'm too old. You know, my arm hurts too bad. My knee hurts. My back's been hurting for 4 months. It's time to stop. No, it never crossed. You know, I've got to get smarter. I've got to eat better. I think about all the stuff I've got to do to get to where I want to be still.
Yep.
You know, and he's the same way. I mean, he's I want to say, because I thought that he had done more contests than any other athlete ever on the planet.
Wow.
And he told me that he wasn't for sure. He said that maybe Zavikas had done a few more contests than he had.
That's unreal.
But, you know, in Europe, the circuit, you know, because there's all these big shows you see on TV.
Yep.
And there's all these, you know, medium-sized shows that you read about on the internet. But there's a whole other circuit out there of just friendly shows.
Yeah.
And there's a contest every single weekend.
Yep.
So, you know, that's how these guys get. It's like playing pickup ball, man. You know,
can't stop. Yeah.
No, it's not the big games, but it's still practice. It's still getting out there to compete.
Yep. You're in it.
People always wondered why the Americans did so poorly at World's Strongest Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Americans weren't what the events are 6 months in advance. the Europeans, we didn't know, you know, I used to, when I competed here, we didn't know what the events were until we showed up at the contest.
Right.
You just had to be strong and in shape. And we competed every single weekend in a different country. So it was compete this weekend.
Yeah,
you compete. It doesn't matter what the events are. We're just going to be strong.
Yeah.
And we're talking about what size farmers' handles are there. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, European athletes use 33 different farmers' implements in competition this year.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, you look at the American strongman, they've done two contests this year. Well, the European, maybe he's beat up. Maybe he's done too many.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, the American contest, they're running one, two contests a year, crazy weights, people tearing everything off the bone.
Yep.
You look at the European contest, we're running shows for the audience. They're making money.
Yep.
The promoters actually make money. The athletes actually get paid to go to contest, and it's all expenses paid.
Yep.
And we don't want anybody hurt. We don't want our athletes beat up. We want them protected.
Right.
You know, that's their money ticket.
Yeah, and it's smart money for anyone doing it, because the essence of getting good at something is to keep doing it. Do it. And you can't expect to do things a couple times a year and come in and shine. And then, you know, like you said, we're tearing muscles off the bones. Well, you know, that's all part of going out and competing. It's all part of being in the mix more than twice a year. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
And look, I think the bottom line with all this stuff is this. And I seem to just, I don't know, more and more, you really got to go in head first to everything. You've got to somewhat shut a lot off on the outside, especially the social media, that most of it is just, what they used to call them, snake salesmen or whatever they were.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
A lot of that stuff is like that, folks. And, you know, we've been talking about this more and more, this disconnect, and it is a disconnect. And when Clint and I talk about, and I'm going to speak for myself and give him right back, because I know we're getting close to time and we want to hit a little bit about old strongman, new, and we kind of have now. But I still think, you know, when, you know, you talk about stuff that's difficult, that might take you out of your rhythm a little bit, that might teach you that maybe you're not the hot shit you think you are, you know, go and tackle a sandbag. Go and walk with a sandbag. Go and take them and just move them from one place, stack them. Why? Well, I think it's very good to put yourself, as Rocky would say, in uncomfortable positions. Because when you learn to become uncomfortable, the things that usually would break most people won't even touch you. And I know there's going to be people out there saying, well, you know, I can't do what you do, or, you know, you do more of this, or, you know, you've been living this life for the last 3 years. I've been living this life since the day I was born, mainly because it's a life I chose. Has it been more dramatic the last 3 years? Yeah. I made a choice, though. And that's the thing you got to do. You make a choice, you stick with the choice. Not unless it's hurting you or it's something you're not passionate about. You damn well better stick it out, because I'm going to tell you right now, you mentally and bodily, your body and mentally are not going to let you stop. Because even if you went and did something else, you're going to be thinking about it all the time. And it will make you do two things. You'll either go back to it or you'll lose your mind. And I mean that totally. Because when you really like doing all kinds of stuff like this, and it transfers into your family life and your work life and all that, it's a feeling, man. I don't know if I could even express to you what it is. It's a feeling inside that just think about the happiest moment in your life ever. Put that inside you and magnify that by trillions. That's what it's all about. And all these people that compete and they strike out and they get ripped up and they got to keep coming back and they get older and nobody wants to lose what they've got, man. But you know what? I don't think you're losing anything, because what you're losing physically, if you want to say that, it's all relative. It's all relative to your age. It's all relative to your body weight, everything. But that doesn't mean you can't get better. But the thing that you are gaining, I wish I knew this stuff, man, when I started. I wish I knew about sandbagging. sandbag lifting. I wish I knew about stacking sandbags and rocks and dead stop training and bands and thick bars and you name it, you know, working your neck till it looks like it's going to explode, all these things. But you know what? That's why I've got a radio show here now. That's why I have Clint on here, because he has done so many things. He's lived through so many things. This is where we gain. This is why, even though you're older in age and they'll tell you, well, you shouldn't do this and why are you doing it? How many people do you know? I know guys in their 40s, some in their 50s that are lifting better now than they did in their 30s, man. But go ahead and take it. Comment on anything.
I don't know, man. You know, we're talking about, you know, I was talking about Terry and, you know, how his situation would have totally crushed me. But obviously he's been in that situation so many times.
Yeah.
It didn't faze him.
No.
You know, and I we're talking about your podcast here. You know, I'm mostly friends with you because you've done so many things that I haven't. And even if I think most of the stuff you do is crazy.
Yeah.
There's going to be a point in time in my life where I'm going to say, you know what? Nothing else has worked. What was that crazy stuff Eric was doing that was working for him? Because I'm looking 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be saying, okay, it's hurting on the way down on squats. Yep. My knees are bothering me on the way down on squats.
Yep.
You know what? This crazy guy named Eric, I used to talk to you 10 years ago, he used to do these bottom position squats with bands.
Yep.
Maybe I can try.
Yep.
You know, and maybe they're not as good as regular squats. Maybe they're not high bar weightlifting squats, but they're better than sitting on the couch and doing nothing.
You betcha.
You know, or maybe it's going to help me with my deadlift. Maybe it's going to help me pick a stone up off the ground. I don't know.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, at least I'm gaining a tool.
Yeah. And you know what the best thing is, okay? You know, Clint, I don't know. I mean, I know you understand this, and I think a lot of the listeners will. And I even think people that are not involved in, like, the stuff we like to do is this. There's parts of your mind that can go places that you don't even know about until you really open them up. And I think for me, more than anything, with all this stuff, even days when I get crushed with it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I get crushed a lot, believe me. But I also give it back pretty hard, too. But I will say this about all this whole thing. I think that I was always set to do stuff like this. Good, bad, the best, not the best, but always consistent, always very creative. You know, today I was telling Ken on our show, I was sitting eating breakfast and I had a small pad next to me with a pen. And I'm sitting here and I've got the note right in front of me. I'll even read it off. Sandbag stacking was number one. Press one arm of pollen and power rack at any height. Number three was add soft sponges to everything and wrap anything 2 inches and wrap the crap out of it with duct tape. I did that yesterday, but I just put it down and remember. And then the other thing was I've been doing these really wild stone pulls in the middle of the power rack off whatever amount, 100-pound or 45-pound plates, up against a set of X bands in it, meaning bands. And what I'm doing is in my mind's eye, I keep thinking about how explosive can I get that stone at the bottom end? Because the main things I think right now are the fingers, hands, and wrists more than anything. And, you know, you want to build the lower arm, as they call it. But I'll tell you what, I've discovered that pull from whatever you're pulling from the floor, off mats, off plates, and then you bring that thing up. And I'm not talking standing up extending this, my friends, the bands. I'm talking pulling this thing and maybe pulling them up, let's even say 4 inches, and putting that stone right back down. I'm here to tell you, I can't wait to really see what this is going to deliver, because you know my feeling right now on erectors, lower back, lats. And when I get that Husafel, the Husa steel, and do that at that point, that's going to be very interesting. And I will tell one more thing, and I'll give it to Clint. I've got a little program right now. I didn't even tell Clint offline this, and I'm not going to say too much because it isn't fully worked out. But I have this monster platform I use. You've probably seen it for the Husa steel, the pull-off at any angle, at any height, in the power rack. I've done a very interesting thing with a sandbag at a specific height, and I take this thing and grab it. Now, this is almost on my clavicles when I'm pulling it off the table, the platform, so to speak, so it's no fooling around. And what I do immediately when I grab that thing is I'll roll it down a little bit, but I'll get right into a squat position, lap it, and stand up with it. Whether I'm going to use that weight or not depends on if I'm going to throw it back on that table. Very interesting stuff. I haven't worked it out yet the way I want. I think at these heights, because we love doing partials, I think I can deliver a huge overhead with the bag. Now, I don't know yet, and I'm not going to commit or tell you that it's a definite, but it's like everything I do here. It's thought out. The principles are being built already into the body to do it. And the rest could be gravy after I work it all out. So that's another little toy that I'm messing around with. So there's about six things going on here at once, which this is why I think that you become very happy, never content. But man, oh man, you want to talk about being constructive and thinking and building all kinds of new shit. This is the way, man. This is it. This is life, man. This is the lifting life, which translates into the love life, the passion life, and most of all, your entrepreneur life. Clint, I know we're right at time, and we didn't get back to really to the old and strong, but why don't you give out, you know, I want you to summarize, take your time with everything, give out your website, anything like that. Let me give out my material, and if you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, you guys can always reach me anywhere. Feel free to comment on anything from YouTube to Facebook to Instagram, Twitter, Elite FTS. I'm Clint Darden everywhere. I don't hide my name like all those other jokers. So I'm easy to find. I'm easy to poke at, and I have really, really thick skin. So if you've got a good joke, I don't mind hearing it.
And you know what the greatest thing is? I can't wait till you get those sandbags from Kenny. I can't wait to hear your exploits, man, because I'll have a ton more for you, too. And I know I've got to start filming, but let me tell you, I've done it. I just don't have the wherewithal or the patience when I'm training to go turn cameras on and off and move them. I just can't do it. It feels like I'm fumbling with everything, and I don't want to get chalk all over my thing. So it's like I'm going to get I got a professional photographer. We'll get him over here and just do a bundle of stuff that we're doing here, you know. Just go through a litany of stuff, you know. I don't care how light it is. Hey, I'm doing the tri-quad dead stop squat. Here's how you set it up and do it. It'll be things of that nature. And when we can get something set, we'll do some real nasty training too. But that's a whole nother thing. You got anything else, my friend?
I can't wait to see it.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to the winner's circle, and you got a product there that, like I said, it's not video, but if you want to really learn, and educate is the main thing. You know, Clint and I were talking about that. Video is great, but if I give you videos for every one of those modules, you're going to be like any of us. Human nature is to skip to the module. Or, I'm sorry, to the video. That's great, but that could get you hurt, or it could mess you up, or whatever. And I really want to educate. Video is not that hard to do, but I think the education and speaking to me or anybody that we have set in this product would be the most beneficial. So go out and look at that. Remember, you get a 13th module free called The Stewards of Strength. And now we've also added Clint Darden to the mix. You know, we've got Martin Janzix, we got Iron Tamer David Whitley, we've got Douglas Graham, we've got Dr. William Wong, and now we have Clint Darden. And just think about the cost of employing one of them for an hour to work with you. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate all these men have volunteered and helped me with. If you go and do this stuff, I guarantee you, you're going to see results. And you can be an old lifter. And we're not old by any means, but you know something, when you hit 40, usually you're finished. At 25, they tell you you're done. I got news for you. People are making gains like crazy just off the sandbag stuff I'm doing. And when we put etched in stone out, which hits everything with sandbags, you're going to be amazed. Clint hit it right on the button, too. He was talking about testosterone going down. That's one of the big things we have in Etched for Men, and that's one of the big reasons we've got Dr. William Wong in on this, because he is the foremost, I think, on testosterone out there, and you're going to be amazed at a few things he and I are going to be doing. So that's a whole other thing. Also, too, contributions. If you just want to give something, which we would appreciate, go out to my PayPal account at FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. But if you'd like to give $25 or $50, you can go right out to Fiorella Barbell and hit contribution. $25 gets you the first module of the Winner's Circle for $25, and it'll teach you stuff like isn't out there. Second one you will get for $50, you will get the module, and you'll get a half an hour of talk to me, and we'll reconcile, I'm sure, a lot of things for you, especially if you like playing sports and you're in high school and you're just not getting where you want to go. I will help you, and at 30 minutes, we're still talking. I will not cut you off. I'm not like that. So come on in. Help us grow. We'd really appreciate that, and we're going to be around for a long time. If there's a show you'd like Clint and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'm going to leave you with a ton of stuff. Number one, I'll tell you right now, don't forget to go to iTunes and Stitcher. They call it Apple now. Give us a 5-star review. I'd appreciate that. Also, too, AHA, AHA, all new cars have podcasting capability. Grab us and put us in your car. You'll love it. Also, too, if someone seeks you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. 5 words will change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get. If you're going to lift it today, bend it, break it, twist it, push it, press it, pull it, squat it. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. Also, too, the Hoosa Steel Crusher in blood red says, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I hear your shows and listen to them, it's like testosterone dripping out of my speakers. And that's what we are. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My pop, be a leader, not a follower. Also, John Ridge, my chiropractor, we lost to cancer 3 years ago almost. He'd walk everybody to the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself and not smile. It is awesome, 2 words. Also, steward of strength, be one. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot through it. Join the family. Join the revolution. 30 years or more, I'm telling you, it's going to be the best stuff you've ever done and heard in your life. We are going to get more and more involved as you see us down the road. Also, Les Brown says you have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would say that in today's world. Clint Darden, as I said, always an honor, a great admirer of yours. And I'm very, very excited to be exchanging a lot of stuff down the road with training. It's always a lot of fun. And if I piss you off and make you get bigger, stronger, and healthier, I've done my job, sir. So thank you for being on. It is. And you know something, man? Tell me this. Is it not fun or what?
It's a wild ride. Who doesn't like a wild ride?
It really is. It really is. So we'll get Clint on in July, if you can believe it. And all I can say is you got 7 days in a week. Today is Monday. You got 6 more, but you got the rest of your life to improve upon and help people out. Do that, everybody. Stay strong, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.